to say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about tool time. Let's talk about bull wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could. Like where the bone thugs and are they in harmony? Do, do, help a snowman, do.
Welcome, everybody, to a show. Well, today, I'm going to talk about and do a little like life update, not like a super touchy feely life update, because, you know, who the hell needs that, right? Have we not all gotten enough life updates? Or like, you know, I feel like no one needs me to do a blow by blow account of an ICE agent shooting a lady. If somehow you've stumbled into this, that's not really what we do here. I mean, just because I'm dumb, you know what I mean? Like it's not, well, maybe I should just get into what I do, which is do. And then we can, and then you'll see for yourself, you know, how and why we don't talk about things like that very often on this show. Although we did just cover Rhetoric Society Quarterly, which, you know, I guess that's pretty heady shit, right? So here's what happened. Listeners of this show will know that I recently acquired a new car. Now, this is a big deal for me because I've owned two cars so far in my life. You know, I'm not a car guy. I'm not interested in cars. But also, I don't understand really how money works for most people. Like, I don't understand people who it's like have a new car every 4 or 5 years. Because I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what? Why? For what? And also, like, I think we all know, right? Whether you're talking to that bald asshole or some asshole who's not as bald, they'll all kind of tell you the same thing, which is like buying a car is, you know, not an investment. It's a use of money. And like you should probably buy a car, drive it into the ground and then repeat. And then, you know, until the sweet release of death means you no longer need a car, or at least I hope so. That would be, you know, someone's interested in designing a hell for me, it would be like, well, basically you die and then, you know, it's kind of the same. You have to do all the annoyances. You need a car to get around heaven because you have a job there that you have to go to. I'd be like, oh my God, are you kidding? So I got this new car because the old car, which I had for 15 years ish, and it was itself like 25 years old. You know, finally gave up the ghost, which is a pretty understandable. It wasn't super mega high mileage. I think it was creeping right up to 200K, which is high, but you know, not nuts. However, I think a combination of high mileage and just being 25 years old is just like, that's all it can takes and it can't stands no more. So I got the new car. Now, something else frequent listeners of this show will know is that I got my old car in like 2007 or 8, right? And pretty shortly after I got it, a woman named Pamela LeGault hit it backing out of a parking space, put a dent just above the passenger side back wheel. And, you know, long story short, Pamela left a note. I called. She was like, how about I just write you a check instead of, you know, us going through insurance? And me being dumb, and to be fair to me, I was being dumb. I was also being nice. Also, I was a broke-ass fool at this time. So, you know, I was like, I mean, the car is still drivable. It doesn't seem to affect the sort of mechanics of the car. So even if I get a check that wouldn't cover the repair, maybe having like $500 is better than having the car repaired. You know what I mean? And I'd never done it before. I didn't know anything about how all this worked. So I was like, yeah, okay, you know, you can write me a check. So Pamela LaGault writes me a check. And then it probably took me about a week to go cash it. I go cash it. And then I get a note from my bank like a couple days later that's like, hey, that check bounced. So not only is it not in your account, but it cost you like $20 for a bounced check fee, which is kind of bullshit. I mean, there's no fucking way, right? Like, I don't know how banking works, okay? But that can't possibly cost $20, can it? How much work goes into a check? I mean, a lot of my work goes into it. Like, when I write a check now, it seems like I might as well be carving into a stone tablet. It feels like that much effort to write a fucking check. And you're like, God, how many things do I have to fill out here? You know what I mean? Do I have to? It's got a memo line. That's like a narrative line. So you can put a narrative to your shit. But, you know, so not only did I not get the money, but it cost me money. And I called Pamela LaGault and I was like, what's up? And she was like, well, I've canceled the check because you hadn't cashed it yet. And I was like, well, I mean, I hadn't cashed it yet. That didn't mean I didn't want or need it. And she was like, well, it seems like you don't need it if it took you this long to do it. So, you know, and I was basically like, well, I do need it. So what do you want to do about it? And she was like, well, you know what? Fuck you. And then her phone number was disconnected after that. You got that do-do-do. So this bitch went so far as to change her phone number or get a new phone or whatever to avoid this. Which was, you know, I don't know. I'd like to think that maybe there was something else going on in her life, partially because, you know, I'd wish a small amount of misery on her. Not like death, certainly something much smaller than that, but just maybe like one real intense bout of diarrhea at an inconvenient time. You know, she's like on an international flight and she has to get up every 10 minutes to void her bowels. And it's just like, man, does that suck? Maybe I don't wish that on her, but what's the difference between wishing that on her and being okay if that had happened to her? What is the difference? I don't know. So this happened, right? And since then, I have sworn that if this ever happened again, I would not trust you very far. I would not allow someone to do this, you know? And I feel like this is a thing people do. They're like, maybe if we don't go through insurance, that's better. And I don't know if that's true, but I'm suspicious that it's not. Let me tell you why. But anyway, I was like, if this ever happens again, I just want everyone to be clear that that's Pamela LaGault's fault. You know what I mean? She fucked it up for you. I mean, maybe you would pay for it and everything would be good. You know what I mean? But it's Pamela LaGault's fault. Fool me once, etc. And I am searching for the word because it's not proud. It's not happy. I'm not delighted. I will say to you that it turns out I got the opportunity to put this into practice. Because what happened is I took Poonmaster Flex to work and I'm parked in the student lot at Colorado State University and we're walking towards my car. And I was like, it was dark, but I was like, I'm pretty sure that something is not right with this car. And I was like, I think somebody hit this car. But I wasn't totally sure, A, and B, I was like, not 100% sure it was my car. One of the weird things about getting a new car. So when you have a 25-year-old car, it's pretty uncommon to see others like it in a parking lot. So you become pretty lax about where you park just because it's like, well, you could just fucking walk out, look around and find your car. You know what I mean? There's no question of whose car that is. And now that I've got a car that many other people have or that's similar to what other people have, it's a bit more difficult to recognize my car like on sight. I mean, I know now what it looks like, but also consider at this time, I think I'd had it for perhaps 6 weeks or something. So it turns out, yep, we get close to it and it's like, okay, it's been dented pretty bad on the back passenger side bumper. Almost the exact same spot that Pamela LaGault did her damage, which I found shocking somehow. I was like, how can this be? I'll be honest. I'm not proud of myself in that, like, you know, it's not like I flipped out. I didn't just like slap Poonmaster Flex and be like, God damn it. But inner turmoil was happening, you know, inner turmoil about like, why does my life have to be like this? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure some people go through their lives and never once have their car severely dented in a parking lot by someone else pulling out of a spot. Like, probably that doesn't happen to most people. And it happens to me twice, both times, you know, within a handful of weeks of the car's purchase. You know what I mean? Almost immediately. And like, I'll be honest too, this second time, certainly it was made a little worse. It was made a little more like fraught because I flash back to, of course, I didn't even have to flash back because this is a thing that's on my mind. Like, it will never leave my mind. Not that I'm like haunted by it, just it's something that I'm like, I wish that had been different. You know what I mean? I wish that it hadn't cost me $20 to get my car hit. How about that? Is that a reasonable? It did throw me into a whole thing. Like sometimes I think that's like, that's one of the flavors of depression that I suffer from is like, why does everything have to be hard like this? You know what I mean? Like, why can't things just be a little easier for me? And I know I'm talking about something that's like, you know, people have much harder things in their lives than I do. Okay, I'm not comparing myself to anyone else, but it just seems like there are certain things that could be a little easier. You know what I mean? There's a tad, maybe a slight amount easier and wouldn't harm anyone else or take anything away from anyone else. So there's a note on the car. So at least the person left a note, you know, I'm like, well, that's something. And I texted them back and they were taking a very long time to text back. So in the meantime, I was like, well, I guess we should contact. I was like, I don't know. Do I call my insurance? How does this work? So I call my insurance because I was like, I guess I'll start there. And my insurance was like, and also I'm like, well, I'm just standing in a parking lot waiting for someone to text me back at their leisure. So let's try this. So I call my insurance and someone picks up who sounds like he's like 19 years old. And, you know, I explain the situation and he's basically like, well, did you get the other person's insurance? And I was like, well, they left a note, but, you know, whatever. And he was like, yeah, you should probably try and get that. And he's like, I mean, we could do your insurance. And he's like, we'll just pay for everything, but it's a $500 deductible. And I was like, well, so, you know, I don't want to do that because if I could pay maybe nothing, that's better than 500. And he's like, yeah, that's probably, you know, whatever. So I was like, okay, well, thanks. And I was like, I mean, what, you know, and he's like, yep, if they don't call back, let us know. We'll set up the $500 thing. Which I was like, what a scam. I mean, I've always thought like car insurance is such a scam. But it's like, what a double scam. It's like your car gets hit in a parking lot. You didn't even do anything. And they're just like, well, we'll fix it for $500. And I was like, I've been paying you guys for, okay. Initially, when I got my car, it was 7 or 8 years old, right? And so, you know, still carries some value. And I was like, but let's talk about like the last 5 years of insurance on a car that's 25 years old. It's like, anything happened. I think if a side mirror got knocked off my car by someone, you know, sideswiping me and they just got that close, but nothing else happened, I feel like they would total it. You know what I mean? They'd be like, the cost of replacing that really is not worth it. So it's like, well, this is pure profit from here on out. But anyway, I eventually did get in touch with the person and texted with them a little, and they were like, well, can you call me? And I was like, God damn it. Because, you know, it was like not straightforward. Now, they were pretty apologetic in the note. So I was like, okay. And they were like, it was completely my fault and stuff. And I was like, okay. But then when it was like, will you call me? And I was like, God damn it. So I call this guy. Turns out to be a guy. And he's like, I was just wondering if there's any way we could do this without going to insurance. You know? And as soon as he said it, I was like, I fucking knew that's why he wanted me to call him. You know what I mean? I knew that that's why. That's why you call someone in that situation, right? Because you don't want to go through insurance, but you don't want to text someone so they have a text message of them trying to commit insurance fraud, which I think this might be. I don't know. I don't actually know. I suppose it's probably not insurance fraud if someone hits your car and then is like, I'll just pay for it and fix it. And if you're willing to do that, I guess that wouldn't be fraud, right? That'd be fine. And it's like not a crime to have an accident, right? Like that. Anyway. So he's like, I have a single mom and I'm a student, so I don't have a ton of money or whatever. And I was like, yeah, listen, let me tell you a story about Pamela LaGault. You know, and I was like, I know this is going to sound crazy, but this exact same thing happened to me with my last car. And when I did that, it didn't work out. I didn't get paid. And I know you're not the same person, literally, because if you were, well, I was just saying how I'm not very lucky, I guess, but I'm not that unlucky. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not wildly unlucky to the point where someone, you know, I'm not that fucking guy who they're like, lightning struck this guy 8 times in his days working in the national parks and 2 more times after he retired. And you're like, yeah, that dude's pretty unlucky. I think it's funny when they talk about that guy, you know, how he got struck by lightning however many times. And everyone's like, well, I mean, he's working in the national park. It's dangerous or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but like more than one time to be struck by lightning seems really unlucky. Like, I feel like if I got hit by lightning and survived and was pretty much fine, I would feel like, well, I could just go. I'll go out whenever the fuck I feel like it now. You know what I mean? Because I'd be like, the odds of that happening to me twice are so low. But maybe it's also like someone was telling me a story about he'd had like a bypass surgery or something, heart surgery, right? And I was like, oh, well, you must feel really good now, right? Like, because you were, you know, blocked or whatever. And he's like, no, not really. Like, I'm recovering and getting better, but I thought I would feel like amazing and energetic like immediately after. And he's like, but I really don't. And then I was like, oh, well, can you like go back to like eating kind of whatever you want or whatever? And he's like, that's also what I thought. I thought it'd be like steak and ice cream forever. And he's like, the doctor told me, oh no, quite the opposite, sir. Those days are over. They should have been over for you before. Now they're super over. And you're just like, God damn it. You know, like what you would think, it's like the mentality of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger is wrong on so many levels, in so many ways, many times, many ways. It's like, no. That's not how that's going to work today, sir. Anyway, so I basically told this kid, like, listen, I know this isn't your fault that somebody else screwed me over in this exact way, but somebody else screwed me over in this exact way. But here's the other thing that was in my head as I was telling him this. I was like, so I don't know that this kid understands what he's proposing, because what he's proposing is like, okay, so I guess what I'll do is hang up the phone with you and then keep my fingers crossed that you won't ghost me like Pamela LeGault did. Then I'll find a body shop to fix it. And then I'll let you know what they say the repair cost is going to be. Now, I've also found out that the insurance company for the at-fault person also pays for a rental car for you. So I'm like, so I guess you'll also pay for a rental car for me. And then, like, whatever it cost, you know, the body shop was like, well, we'll estimate $1,500, but basically we open it up and almost always find that it's more than that. So, you know, I would estimate you're a minimum of $2,000 in the hole right now. And like, how much cheaper is that than, you know, what's the savings? What's the cost savings here by not going through insurance? And like, what comes out of your pocket today? And do you have $2,000? If you don't have $2,000, how are you going to pay for it? And if you do, why are you worried about it? But anyway, I basically told him, and then he had kind of a funny response, because he was like, well, I can tell from talking to you, we've both been through some shit. And I was like, immediately, kind of like, I don't know. I thought it was a very funny reaction, because he was like relating to me on the level of having been through some shit. Now, I have no idea. For all I know, yeah, maybe he's been through some shit. But also, I was like, I don't know that I would call having my car dented by someone and then it costing me $20 going through some shit. You know what I mean? That's where I kind of like contradict myself in the telling of the story. Because I was like, well, I know it's not the biggest, worst thing that's ever happened to anyone, but, you know, it's still fucking annoying. But, you know, okay, I'm not going to go to the VFW hall, sit down, order a drink, and they're like, you can't drink here because you're not a veteran. And I'm like, listen, I've been through some shit. And then launch into the story of the time Pamela LeGault dented my car. You know what I mean? That's probably not how this works. So, you know, he was like, are you sure you won't, you know, just go non-insurance? And I was like, no, I'm going to be firm on that. We got to go through insurance, whatever. Now, so he, and, you know, very tense, maybe 30 minutes later, I got all his insurance information. We're all good to go. What I discovered in getting his insurance information, because I was a little suspicious. I was like, don't have the money or whatever. But when they send you their insurance information, you get to see what kind of car they're driving. And I was a little nervous because I was like, I'm going to feel like shit if this says 1987 Subaru wagon. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, oh, man. You know what I mean? And I'll be like, I'll feel bad because I'll feel like I'm like the middle-aged man. And he is a college student. He fucked up a little bit. You know, he's clearly doing what he can to get by. I would be like, this was me several years ago when I was driving a 1990 Pontiac Grand Am that, you know, nothing inside of it worked. And it would be like, if I hit someone else's car with it, I'd just be like, you know what? I would just, you know what the mistake was I made? Just driving. Like, thinking that being in this vehicle would be to my benefit for any point, that was the mistake. But I get his insurance information. First of all, it's in his mom's name. And so I was like, I wonder if he didn't want to tell his mom he hit a car. You know what I mean? And like, what his plan was. But also, I saw that the car he was driving was like a 2023 Tesla. So hold on. Cost of 2023 Tesla. Generally started in the low 40,000s for the Model 3. You know, it looks like you could get a used one for, I don't know, $25,000 maybe. What's a fair price for a car that was $40,000? Now, okay, so here's the thing about a Tesla, right? If they bought it new, it was probably 40K. If you tried to buy it used, it'd probably be 25. So it really depends. Suffice to say, this is a kid who's driving a two-year-old vehicle, for one. For two, it's a Tesla. For three, I could see from the insurance that he's from California. So it's like, you're paying out-of-state tuition to go to a college, and you drove your Tesla cross country. I feel like either you're doing okay or you're making bad financial decisions that I don't need to be made responsible for. In other words, getting the insurance information was a great relief to me because it made me feel like I think this kid's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Here's the other thing about like why I just am so fucking glad I didn't do the insurance, right? Because I'm like, I don't want to have to like text this kid every 2 weeks for like, okay, now I'm in the body shop. Now, you know, I need the rental. Now I need to do this. And it's like each step of the way I would have to get him to pay for stuff. And, you know, like, okay, getting a rental, right? And I'm like, well, probably the only way that works is I would have to pay for it and then really hope that he paid me back. And I mean, ultimately, it's not like a trust thing for me as much as it is like, I don't want to have a relationship with some kid. You know, the 2026 equivalent for Pete of paying $20 to have the check bounce is having my car hit by someone and then having to text with them a lot. You know what I mean? Having a new friend that I'm not actually friends with, but have a friend level of obligation to communicate with. That's like the equivalent annoyance for me at this stage in life. So then, you know, I found out the next steps. I talked to his insurance and everything. And you call a body shop. So I called them in like early December, I think. And then they were like, cool, we'll see you in mid-January. And I was like, okay. And then I go in mid-January and like I called the week before because I was like, so do I need to clean out my car and like get anything out of it that I need or whatever? And she's like, oh no, like you just come in and we're going to look at it. And then we'll probably get you back in looking like early February. I was like, okay. So I drove there and body shop has a classic shitty office. You know what I mean? It's the classic waiting room type thing with like dark plasticky wood paneling and like a couple of sofas that the Habitat Restore could not sell. You know what I mean? They're probably sofas that an apartment around the corner put in the alley. And the body shop owner's like, I think we get these inside. I don't think it's rained since I last drove down this road and saw these were being put out. So I think we're okay here. The sofas matched each other. But they were like, okay, when you have a sofa in a room like that, having like been involved in the purchase of library seating, there's a subtle difference between what like libraries put in as seating and what like what is a bad version of what they call soft seating. So soft seating is anything that is, you know, fabric or has any cushionous material as opposed to like a wooden chair or a plastic chair or whatever. When you buy soft seating for the library, there are some things to consider. You kind of want it to be, you want the fabric to be very patterned. You know what I mean? Because a weird sort of pattern that would look hideous in anyone's living room works because it breaks up staining. And not just like staining. I'm not just saying like because someone jerked off onto it. I'm talking about like the sort of human stain, as Philip Roth would say. But like people, if someone sits on a couch a lot and isn't particularly clean, you know, it develops a darkened hue in the place where people sit on it over time. And so a pattern helps hide that. A sofa that is sort of just a aqua corduroy color does not. Also, like soft seating, I think, you know, in a library, we have our limits when it comes to the softness of soft seating. In other words, like, you don't want to get something that is too soft. You know what I mean? You don't want a suede thing happening. You don't want like a super plushy finish or anything like that, because you're like, I mean, this will be ruined comprehensively within a week. It'll be immediate. I think the worst staining I remember from a piece of library furniture was we had a futon. Now, I had a boss who was very opposed to getting this futon, because we got this futon for the teen area because I think somehow like someone had a futon and was like, do you guys want it for this? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. And the boss was very opposed to it because she was convinced that it would be converted into a bed upon which teenagers would have sex. And I was like, I mean, you know, like when you get these kind of questions, you have to wonder, it's hard to address them. I remember one of the hardest things for me to respond to in my career at the library was, okay. I was agitating that we get Instagram at the time, when Instagram was, you know, a newer social media platform, but it was very hot or whatever. And the head of our public information office, who makes those kind of decisions, was like, if we take Instagram pictures, we did this event called Hip Hop Madness, where teenagers went to the local university and they had like a DJ and did stuff. And I was like, you guys should be taking pictures at Hip Hop Madness and posting them and telling people to come. And she was like, what if we take a picture of like a minor and then a child molester sees it and that prompts them to like come out and molest that specific child? Don't you think we'd be liable for that? And I was like, this is a very odd question. Because it wasn't like I was saying, we should hire like some child models, you know, or local children to be in some publicity photos. You know what I mean? And so they would be in a bunch of our stuff. And I don't know, maybe someone would find that alluring or something. But it wasn't that. It was like, this is a one-time event that's happening. And so what she's picturing is like, Chester is going to get in his car. He's going to see this picture on Instagram, jump in his car, peel out, go to the university, somehow kidnap this kid through, you know, whatever means people do that by. And then that will somehow be our fault because we put that kid online. Now, I should say this was probably like 2010 or something, when it was a little less whatever. It was a little less weird to put your kids online because I think the data scraping concerns were non-existent. It was more about, that was the only, and so anyway, she says this and you're like, how do I respond to this without sounding like I'm just saying that that's a dumb concern? Because it's like if she wasn't so dumb, I would accuse her of being like diabolical genius. Because it's like, well, when you accelerate all the way up to the level of what if a child is assaulted because of this? It's like, well, yeah, I mean, normally, you know, rational arguments have kind of gone out the window in a way, right? We haven't even started and I can't really talk about this in a rational way. Oh my God. But anyway, one of the other hard ones was, what if the teens do this? I had another one that was like that. There was a lady, this wasn't at my library. We were touring another library because they had like a film studio. And we were thinking about like making something like that, which we eventually did like 10 years after this. But and they had a film studio, and the manager was talking about how she insisted it not be soundproof and that it have a very large window on the door. And she was like, and they had a bunch of other rules about who could be in there when, and especially teenagers. And she was like, well, can you imagine what would happen if someone came in here and filmed a porno? And again, I was like, well, I mean, there's a pretty big window into the studio that's not on the door. You know what I mean? It's not like it was a little out of the way, but it wasn't like any more out of the way than a typical library study room. And also I was like, I mean, I don't think a rational person, if that happened, I don't think would be like, well, what was the library thinking having a film studio? Of course, that's what gets filmed in here. I mean, I don't know. Anyway. But when they take it to that level, it's hard to talk them down because they're already at the tippy top. You know, it's not like an escalating concern. It's like I'm concerned this is going to cost people their lives and their chastity. And you're like, all right, we're really starting off strong here. So the concern about teenagers having sex on the futon, you know, sometimes I think the way to address a thing like that is you just have to go into solutions mode, right? Instead of arguing their point, instead of arguing about how likely that seems, you just have to kind of go into the mode of saying, you know, we could probably like put in a bolt or something that arrests the futon and prevents it from going flat. And I think that's what we did. So, you know, it's like, well, I think it was like literally a couple zip ties. And I was like, well, this pretty much keeps it from going flat. And by the time the futon's sitting there and you put the zip ties on, and I know the manager is thinking, what if they bring a knife and then they use it to cut the zip ties and then to threaten someone to have sex with them on the futon? So, you know, we got this futon and to my knowledge, no one had sex on it. However, a unhoused individual came in and was pretty wasted. This is a regular thing. And one night he was on the futon. And then we had to kind of rouse him when it was time to close. And there's a huge wet spot on the futon because he had definitely pissed the futon. And the best part was someone I worked with put their face right up close to the piss puddle and smelled to see if it was pee. And then was like, it's definitely pee. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how else you would determine for sure it was pee without smelling it with your face right up close to it. However, I don't know that it was 100% necessary to 100% confirm that it's pee. I feel like if there is a drunk person on a futon who gets up and then there's a giant wet spot, let's just assume it's pee. You know what I mean? Let's treat it as pee. And if it turns out to not be pee, oh well, we've over-treated it. That's fine. You know what I mean? That's okay. Anyway, so, you know, I take it to the body shop. This lady, it's shittiest body shop. It's not shit. The body shop itself, I'm sure, is fine. It was just an odd, quintessential waiting room and then odd furniture. But also I waited outside because when I got there, the lady at the desk was wearing a mask and, but you know, like below her face. And then a guy came in who also worked there and was wearing a mask correctly. And now because of the way I've like learned to live, whenever I see someone wearing a mask, I assume they're sick. You know what I mean? Now it's possible maybe someone in the office or a family member of someone is, you know, I don't know, immune compromised or who knows. There are plenty of good reasons. I am not attacking them for wearing masks at all. I just sort of assume when I see it that that's what's going on. And especially, I'll admit to some bias here, you know, a body shop or similar business. You know what I mean? If I went to the tire shop or I went to the auto repair place and they're all wearing masks, I'm like, You know, if I went to, trying to think of another type of business that if I went to, something very blue collary, some kind of fabrication place, they're all wearing masks, I'd be like, I wonder what's going on. Something's going on here. So anyway, I waited outside instead of sitting on the couches, but not so much because of the couches. I robbed myself the experience of really seeing just how deep I would sink into that plushy couch. But because I was like, I feel like I'm rolling the dice on getting sick. So then this lady comes outside, takes some pictures with an iPad, which I'm like, you guys can't get like a phone for this that seems much more convenient than a huge iPad. And then also, she's like, okay, I got to get in and take pictures of the odometer and stuff. So she did it, she takes the pictures and then I peace out. Right. She's like, okay, we'll see you in February. And here's the estimate. And I was like, okay, I've never done this before. The estimate doesn't really matter to me. Right. That's for the insurance. And she's like, that's right. And I was like, great. And I was like, well, estimate away. Whatever you think, you know, it's fine. It's funny that they even give me an estimate because I'm like, I don't give a fuck what the estimate is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. It has nothing to do with me. But, sends me on my way. But also, I'm like, why do you need a picture of the odometer? You know what I mean? Like, I'll come back in a month. Are you going to be mad that the odometer is different? Am I supposed to wait? Am I supposed to not drive until I come back here? Even then, you know, just driving from here, from home here to home and then back again will be a couple miles. But what's the difference? I don't know. Are they worried like of getting accused that someone Ferris Buellered around? And even if they are, I'm like, I mean, it's a 2022 Toyota Corolla. You know what I mean? Probably stand to have some miles put on it. And also, if I'm joyriding a car, that's probably not it. I mean, maybe it would be what I would joyride because I'd be like, no one is going to suspect it. You know what I mean? I never checked the fucking miles on my old car when I took it into the shop. For all I know, they were doing all their errands in it for the entire week, you know? But probably not because you're like, I mean, I'm going to get spotted for sure in this car. There's no way I'm not. I mean, it's one of the like advantages of driving a Toyota Corolla, because you're like, well, I don't really worry about those kinds of things. You know, I don't really worry that someone's going to like tool around town in it, that someone at the shop is going to be like, listen, don't you think that we should take it for a little test drive and make sure, you know, like no one is going to be slobbering over the chance to get to drive that. It's, you know, there's a certain advantage to living a low tier life. It's like you don't have to worry about things. I guess maybe people who live a high tier life just don't worry about stuff. But I think if you're a worrier, it's, you know, you kind of have to live a low tier life because otherwise your anxiety eats you alive. So you go. That's the tale of my car. You know, I guess it's a good thing it got hit by a Tesla instead of like a lifted pickup truck that would have shattered all the windows or something. It seems crazy to me that that's like allowed, you know, like why does it need to be so tall? For why is it so tall? I will say this, though, I think, you know, people talk a lot about guys with small penises driving like a big truck. And it's like compensating for having a tiny penis. And I think we need to stop saying that, because the truth of the matter is we don't know. And we don't know because people who drive those trucks have never had the opportunity for someone else to see their penis. So we just can't confirm. I'm just trying to be scientific about this, okay? All right. We'll see you next time. Let's talk about bum wine, yeah. You're asking the questions that nobody could.